Hello, hello, and welcome to the FLM podcast number 10, the big 10. We have made it this far. Kind of shocking when I first started this thing out. My first guest was who is now my partner. I never imagined it would be 10 podcasts, keep going strong. And that's all thanks to you guys for listening, tuning in, and giving us great, great feedback week in and week out. So to celebrate this podcast, we are going to do a auction. It's going to be a keeper auction. Hope you guys are ready for it. But that's all later on. Let me introduce my partner, as always, Mr. John Ellis. How's it going, mate?
Happy anniversary, mate. How are you?
Doing good, sweetheart. Happy anniversary. Your flower should be in the mail. Hope you get it.
Really? I don't like flowers, mate. Especially not from Japan. They'll be dead by the time they get here.
They should, yeah. Could be. I'll send you a couple of nudes later on and with me covered in flowers. How's that sound?
I'll think about it.
Pick your poison. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump into this one. As always, we're starting with our Free Agent Friday review. And this past Friday, we had four players up for auction. The first one is the midfielder who's been around the world this season, started off at Madrid, went to Liverpool, and now he's back in Germany playing for Dortmund. It is Nuri Sahin, and he is an 81 overall midfielder, and he went – now, this was a little bit of a talking point this week. He went for 11.4 million to Joel, and Davo was not too pleased about it. And I am not looking forward to what's going to happen in the coming weeks because of it. But 11.4 million is a huge steal for a player of Sahin's caliber. What are your thoughts about that, Ellis?
It's a little bit embarrassing, really. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had Hernandez who went for 6 million. And this week, we've got Sahin that's gone for 11.4. And I can understand him while he's a little bit pissed off, to put it in a word. Excuse me. It's difficult. It's difficult to... It's a steal, isn't it? I mean, a player of his quality, I know he's been thrown around the park a little bit with other teams, but he's still a quality player. He still keeps the ball well, and he will still do a massive job for you. So 11.4 million. The market's gone mental. It's gone from one extreme to the other in the space of a couple of months. We started off, if you looked at it when we first started, if you'd have put an 82 rated midfielder in, you'd have probably got at least 40 million for him.
Yeah.
You were going to sell him. Now, to buy him for 11.4 is absolute madness. Imagine Schweinsteiger went for, what, 114 million at the beginning?
137.
Bloody hell. It's ridiculous. See, we're poverty, mate. Poverty's kicked in. The recession hits hard. 11.4 million. Joel, the police are after you, mate. You should be arrested for stealing.
Yeah. I think the chief of police of FLM, Davo, will be coming around to your doors very soon.
Blue button, mate. He's coming in.
It is coming. I'm not looking forward to it. But a huge, huge steal, and probably the steal of the season, I would say. Obviously, Hernandez was 6 million. But 11.4 million for Sahin is a big, big steal. All right, moving on to the Juventus striker who, no matter where he goes, scores goals. Vucinic, and he is an 83 overall rated attacker. And he also went for quite a low fee, in my opinion. He went for 25 million to Tails. 25 million for an 83 overall striker. If we look back, maybe even at a Robinho a few weeks back, went for 54 million, and he's only an 82 overall rated attacker. I think it's another steal so far. What are your thoughts about that, Ellis?
Yeah, again, I mean, there was some money thrown in the league last week or the week before, and I was thinking that maybe this Free Agent Friday, especially with the couple that are in there, would start the ball rolling again, and people would start throwing money. But people have been very, very sketchy with where they're paying their money, I think, and 25 million for a striker's only going to improve in a strong side. He's going to get better, I reckon, in the next rating update. He'll get that and more if he decides to sell him. But I don't think he will because it's the sort of player that Tails has been looking for. He struggled a little bit this season, but he's picked up a couple of wins recently, which is good for him. But yeah, he needs a talisman. He needs somebody that he can look to get him some goals. and I think he's got it in Vucinic.
Yep, I agree. All right, moving on. Was a keeper and who has been lighting up the Premier League. We all knew he had it in him when he left Inter Milan. People kind of thought he was past it, he was done with it, but he's shown for the rubbish side that is QPR that he still has a trick or two up his sleeve, and that is Julio Cesar. The Brazilian is an 83 overall keeper, and he went for 32.5 million to Terry, and that seems about right to me for that quality of keeper. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. 32.5, it's a good price for Terry, but then again, it's a price that you can get more if you wanted to sell him. We always go on that judgment, which for me is definitely a good signing. He's one of the most underrated keepers on the game. I played Terry in our league game last night, and if it weren't for Cesar, it could have been 3 or 4. It remained 0-0. So he's got a great goalkeeper there. He's kept a couple of clean sheets already against myself and Dockers, who got Lewandowski up front, who scores goals for fun. So that's no mean feat. He's done really well in getting him, and I think he'll strengthen him up at the back. He's a very strong defensive squad now, Terry. Two good centre-backs, and Cesar behind him. I don't think he'll concede many goals. So if he gets himself a good striker, then he'll be laughing.
Yeah, definitely quality signing. And going on to our last Free Agent Friday member is a defender, Garay, and he's an 82 overall rated defender. And this player is only going to get better and better and better. I have a feeling in FIFA 14 he will be probably a little bit higher than he is now, probably closer to the 83, 84 range. He went to Nantes for 27.1 million, and I think that's a steal for a player who's only going to improve. What do you think, Ellis?
Yeah, he spent his money wisely there. I mean, I've got a lot of time for Nantes. The way he conducts himself, because he's getting beat quite a bit at the moment, and he's not moaning about it. He's not telling people that they've cheated or kicking the bucket and just getting the ump with everyone. He's taking it the fair way. He's accepting defeats, and I've got a lot of time for that. He's gone and got himself a defender there that's going to help him stop conceding as many goals, which is the right way to go about it. Start from the back, work your way forward. Once you stop the goals, plug the gaps, then you'll start getting the goals. So, yeah, it's a good signing for him. Like you say, he's going to improve. He's a good, strong centre-back, I believe. It's only going to get better. So, yeah, I've got a lot of admiration for Nant and what he's doing there. So, yeah, hopefully the wins start coming for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he held on to Nani as long as he could. And then he finally kind of realized that he needed to sell Nani to improve his squad. And I think we may have touched on that on the podcast before. But he finally did it, and you can see he's obviously updating and upgrading his squad.
It's a well-known sort of fact that when you first come in the leagues, I've done it myself, my poison was Van Persie, sorry. I splashed out on him, 45 million at the time was mega money. So I splashed out on Van Persie and held on to him to the bitter end and then managed to cash in. And if you do that, if you realise that the one player is not going to win you the games, then you can sell him and get 3 or 4, sometimes 5 players, of a good quality that will help you get the results. That generally tends to happen. If you rely on 1 or 2 players to get you the wins, it's not going to happen because your lower players, your 73s and 72s, are not going to get you the points. So, yeah, he's done the right thing in selling Nani there. It's got a good price for him, and he's starting to spend the money wisely. So, yeah, it should be good for him.
Yeah, he's already, as we just mentioned, he picked up Garay at the Free Agent Friday. He's also picked up 2 old boys in the transfer market. Deco and Scholes, he shored up his center midfield, spending 11 million on 2 80 overall rated players. Now, 11 million on 2 players who are rated 80 overall is good dealings, and obviously they're up there in age, but 11 million for 2 80 overall players is a bargain, I think.
Definitely. It's gonna help him in the short term. It's not a long term fix, obviously, because Scholes is not going to be around forever. This might even be his last couple of months on the game, and Deco's the same in the same boat, really. But yeah, 11 million for them two players. When you look at the likes of Henri went for 12, Beckham went for 12, then a similar mould. So yeah, good signings.
Yep. All right. So now that we've moved away from the Free Agent Friday, we yesterday, actually, we had something we haven't had in a while. Actually, this might have been the first one of the season, if I'm not mistaken. We had the old cunt Wednesday, although it was Tuesday, and that player who was on the market yesterday was the one and only curly-haired,
blonde. Hold on a second. Hold on. Stop. Yep. Hold on a minute. Let me introduce him. Ready? Okay. He comes from Uruguay. He made the Scousers cry. Diego. Whoa, Diego. Whoa. There he is. How'd you like that? That's an introduction for you. It's the legend that is Diego Forlan. He broke the hearts of millions of Scousers in their own backyard, not once, but twice. Get it. Forever a United legend, Diego fucking Forlan.
Hate that fucker. I really do. Even when he went to Atletico Madrid, I still hated him.
I hate Dirk. He's my hate. Dirk Cowley. I'm glad to see him go anyway.
All right, so.
Diego Forlan, everybody.
Yeah, our old cunt Wednesday was Diego Forlan. And he's playing in Brazil now, obviously, so his ratings are not going to be as high or as good as they would be.
Cracking shot on him, though.
Yeah, if he played in the Premier League or La Liga. But he's still a deadly, deadly finisher, even at his age. And he actually went to, can't remember.
Joel,
yeah, he went to Joel. I think it was about 12.
Was it 12? Hang on, 12 million, yeah. Minute before the deadline.
Yeah. That's a good deal. I mean, 12 million, around 12 million is going to get you plenty of goals.
It could be the deal that wins in the league.
Now he has, I guess, Henri and Forlan up front, possibly.
Chalk and cheese.
You know, two old boys up there doing their things. So, it could be a...
Good combination, that.
Yeah, decent combination. And like you mentioned, he's fighting for promotion, top of the league. So it could turn the tide a bit. So, Ellis, what are your other transfers that happened this past week or so?
Only got a couple. There's been a few niggly little ones that really sort of don't really warrant much to talk about. But my big ones are Scott Needs Shooting is headline number one. As he sold El Sharaway to the devil, Viper. That's a way to, you might as well, that's like, I never try and think, yeah, that's like Arsenal selling Van Persie to Man United. She'd never do it, really, should you? The biggest rival, you sold your best player. Yeah. But yeah, you look at the strike force Scott had, he had El Sharaway and Neymar. What is wrong with that? Why would you want to change that?
I never would.
No.
Not for 10 years, not for 10 more FIFAs. There's no way.
No, keep it, Scott. But no, you've only gone and sold your best player, one of your best players, to probably the best player in the league. It's going to win the league again this year and probably again next season. So yeah, round of applause for Scott, everybody. But moving on, that's my rant over. A little exchange of players between Nick and FM91. Kagawa going to... FM91 and Hanan's going to Nick, and ladies and gentlemen, it's the reuniting of two Borussia Dortmund legends in Götze and Kagawa. So you've got a great little midfield there. Yeah. So thanks, Nick. Not only have you sold Kagawa, but you've also given him to a player in my league that's going to just kill me now. So cheers for that. But yeah, that's my two things. Kagawa for Hanan's and El Shaarawy for, I think it was Gourin and Money.
Yeah, it was 41 million plus Guarín. That's a lot of money, plus a really good player. But you get what you pay for, and El Shaarawy is the top youngster in the world, not just Europe. He is a top
They fucked his rating up at the beginning of the season, didn't they? They had him down as a 79?
Something. It was lower than that, maybe. It might have been a bit.
78, you know, and then the update came out, and he was up to an 82 within the space of quite a month. So, and he's banging goals in. So, yeah. These things happen, mate. Viper's going to hold on to him forever now. He ain't going anywhere, so.
Yeah, there hasn't been that many, you know, drop your jaw kind of transfers. The best holding midfielder in the world, Busquets, he went with a swap deal. I guess Dave and Nan did a swap deal for Rubinho plus 15 million for Busquets. So basically, Dave spent 30 million on Busquets. He's got half of that back, plus Robinho in the deal. That's a good bit of business.
Definitely.
If you ask me.
But what I was going to say, you got obviously a couple of deals trying to go through. A few players have posted up, a few players that they want to get rid of. I think G-Mac's on the prowl again for a few youngsters. The paedophile that is G-Mac is on the lookout for a few youngsters to boost his team up. So, yeah, he'll do well. What else is Danny's trying to do a few deals. He did tout Benzema, but I just think he's looking to see what he can get. I don't reckon he'll sell him because he'll be mad if he does. He's already in trouble this season. Selling your best player is not really going to get you out of a hole.
No.
But yeah, he's got a couple of players up. Apart from that, I can't really see anything else going through in the next couple of days.
No, I think it's coming down to the end of the season where people are trying to get a little bit of continuity going with their squads. And any changes, I think, from here on out, any changes you make could make or break your season. And if you're willing to risk that, I mean, you go for it. But
that's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're willing to risk it, do it. But if you're in a title race or in a relegation battle, my advice to you would be just keep your team. I know it's hard with all the transfers going around. You get the fever, and you just want to get in there and do it. But try to keep your team, just to make it through the
thing is, a lot of the Green – well, all of the Green League members have not experienced the transfer deadline day yet.
I haven't yet. Yeah,
let me just warn you. This goes fucking mad. And – before it, the calm before the storm will be sell your slags so that money's recouped. So there'll be a lot of money in the league, and then the deadline day will come out and it'll just go mental. And then you'll be sitting there thinking, why didn't I wait? I sold my players ages ago. Why didn't I? I've done it millions of times already. I sold my players. Like last season, I sold Van Persie for 125, and I could have probably sold him for about 150 at one stage. So, yeah, be patient is all I'll say.
Obviously, I've sold my whole team to Davo. I am slag free, so I have nothing to offer. And but you know,
you can sit and watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit on the sidelines and watch, and probably be going crazy trying to get everybody's transfers through on the day. I'll be pretty busy.
Busy night for you, then, mate.
So I'm glad I don't have anything to put forward, because I'll be busy behind the scenes putting everything through, I'm sure, for days on end after that. All right, so that pretty much wraps up our Free Agent Friday and transfer review for this past time. Now, we are getting to the point of the season where, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, it is make or break. If you're at the top, you're battling those last – we have, six more fixtures left. You're battling them out. You're really trying to separate yourself from the pack. Or – you're on the other end of the scale. You're at the bottom of the table, and you're trying to climb your way out of the basement and stay safe, or even trying to nick a promotion spot in there. So let's kind of see where everybody's at. Kind of focus on the battles we have going on right now. So let's
plenty of them. Apologies in the background. My daughter's just trying to wreck the place, so I apologize for that. But yeah, we've obviously got a few battles going on, especially in the Green League, battle at the top and also down the bottom. The Division 2, there's a battle at the top to see who's going to get promoted to Division 1. And in the Premiership, well, Division 1, sorry, they've got a battle at the bottom. The league's already sewn up, we know that, but there's a battle at the bottom, which is quite interesting because they've got to play each other, so that should be fun. But we'll start with the Green League. We'll start with the Green League and have a look at that. So obviously you're involved in that, Jaylis,
I am.
How do you think that's going to go?
I have a game against Bruce coming up in the fixtures, so that will be a very, very important game for myself and for him as well. If he beats me, we're tied up at 15 points apiece. My goal difference is far superior to his. So I would be still ahead on him on that alone, but that's playing it a bit tricky. There's only, I mean, from my spot in 10th to 8th place, which is Dom, there's only a 2-point difference. So if I win my next fixture, I could easily go from staying in Division 2 to getting promoted to Division 1. So it's really going to be down to the wire, I think, in this league. People, ourselves included on the show, we from the beginning we've said the Green League is going to be the Joker League. We don't know what's going to happen, who's going to play their cards right, who's going to pull out on top, who's going to be the strongest. And I think now we're kind of starting to see it play out, and it's going to be a fun and interesting last couple of games here in the Green League. But I really think the battle at the bottom kind of fails in comparison to the battle at the top, because the battle at the top is heated. I mean, it is neck and neck down to the wire, and there are four teams who are still in it who could
As our
still win.
virus database has been
And
updated.
that was
Who would
horrible,
ever?
horrible timing. Yes,
Yeah,
I'm
I
clean.
agree. The Green League looks fantastic, mate. I'm really sort of I'm impressed with everybody in the Green League. They've been fantastic this season. Breath of fresh air to us all. Conducted their games in the perfect manner. And you're getting your rewards now. You've got a great league coming up there. Like you say, you're down there fighting with a couple of, you've got Park, who's just a couple of, well, he's a point above you, and you've got Dom, who's a couple of points above you. So you've got a lot to do down there. I don't think it's over yet. Like you say, Bruce can get back into it. So yeah, it's good three or four of you battling for that honour down the bottom. Up the top is where, like you say, that's where the action is. You've got four players there. I think you can forget Wobu. I don't think he's going to get involved. But you've got four players there that are actually going to be fighting to the end. I think they've got to play each other. There's some really good games coming up. There's 4 points between all of them. And there's some really good games coming up, as I just said. You've got some form players at the top. Points are going to be even bigger than three, I reckon, in terms of the meaning of it. It's not just about 3 points. It's about who's going to win the league now. I think all four of them will get promoted to the top division. But it's who wins the league is what we're looking at.
Like you said, they're all four pretty much guaranteed promotion to the Premiership or the top division, League One. So I really can't call it. I would like to do it, but I can't call it. I can't predict it. We have a really big game coming up, Dave versus Tomo. Now, if Tomo wins, he's on points with Dave. Obviously, he'll have a little bit of a game in hand, but he's square on points with Dave. But Dave has one thing going for him, and that is his superior goal difference. I mean, even if he ends up the end of the season tied on points with anybody, I can pretty much guarantee he's going to win on goal
Double,
difference.
almost double everyone else. But yeah, there's one salute. One say there's one reason for that, and that's the beast that is Emenike. He's an absolute animal.
He is.
So he's done well to keep it. He's so underrated. He should be 88 in my eyes. The way he plays, he's such a beast. He scores from anywhere. He can power through anyone. But it's so hard to call it. Almir is in the form of his life.
He is.
Tomo is a great player. Joel, he's just quietly gone about his business. He's just signed, like we said earlier, he's just signed Forlan and Sahin, so he's increased on his squad already. Just that, for me, those two deals, that could seal it for him. He's very clever in what he's done there in terms of his supporting midfielder is going to give him something extra, and he's brought in a striker that's going to give him something extra. So the players he's brought in are players that are going to improve his squad. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how it's going to pan out.
I think Almir is in, like you said, the form of his life. If he can keep this form up, you wouldn't bet against him. You really wouldn't. And let's have a little prediction here. So, Ellis, if you had to pick right now, as things stand, who would you pick to win the Green League? Now be careful. Write this down. Can't go back on it. I'm gonna write it down. It's literally in the history book.
Okay. I'm gonna say First will be Dave.
Okay.
Second will be... Oh, holy shit. Tomo.
Oof. Okay.
Third will be Joel. And fourth will be Almir.
Wow. So you have Almir kind of going down, losing his form. And
It's so difficult.
I have a question for you, though. Do you think that Almir peaked at the wrong point of the season? Do you think he should have been peaking maybe two games ago instead of five games ago?
It's fine. The thing is, Almir started off really well. I remember talking about him at the beginning of the season, saying how we looked at his squad and we couldn't figure out anything really there. There was nothing there that jumped out at us. And there's still nothing really that leaps out at me and says this is the reason. He's got Pato up front. He's been trying to sell him for some reason. He's got him up front. But I just feel when it comes to the bigger games, that there's more firepower with the likes of Emenike and Sanchez and players that Tomo's got and the signings Joel just made. They've got more clout when it comes to the crunch moments. And I think Almir might just come that little bit short when it comes to that.
Okay. All right. So
I'm saying that now, but he'll just piss all over that and he'll win the league now.
He might just do. All right. I'll give you my predictions now. I'm obviously in the league, but I'm not involved in the title race, so I don't really feel obliged not to do this, so I'm going to do it. First, I think Dave just has superior goal difference, and I really think that he's going to pull it off. So I think Dave is going to win the title. I think Almir will be close in the end, but I don't think he's going to do it. So I'm going to give him second place. I think Joel, with the signings he made, it could push him up a bit. He's had a bit of a hit and miss form, but I think he's going to pip third. And I think Tomo, who's a hell of a player, a really, really good player, I think he is going to...
He's done really well. When he came in at Wolfsburg, they were at the bottom of the league and got a win. And a really sort of scratch squad. I think he's done really well to get them where they are.
And that's my four. We'll see how it plays out. And we'll see who gets the bragging rights come the end of the season. All right, so let's move on to your league, Division 2. It has been a battle all season. You had a couple of guys come in, like Ace, who pretty much you didn't really know how they were going to play. But now that they've had a chance to settle in, and we've also had FM91 come in and take over for Bayern Munich. So there's been a couple of new guys come in, and they've done really well. So what are your thoughts about Division 2? Let's start from the bottom right now. And there are a few teams. I think Tails could probably be going down. Kev as well, he's still kind of in it. But I think there is a little bit of a gap between 8th and 9th place. There's 5-point difference, and that could prove to be a little bit too much. So maybe the bottom four, no matter what the final position is, I think maybe all four of those teams could be going down. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was sort of... I mean, they got cut adrift quite early in the season. G-Max had a little bit of a battle back, which is... I'm pleased to see. I like Johnny. He's decided to stay on, so that's fantastic news for everybody. I'm really pleased about that. So, yeah, he'll battle on towards the end. I think next season he'll be even stronger than what he is this season. Same goes for Terry. Terry's massively improved over the last couple of weeks for me. The players he's brought in have strengthened him up at the back. And like I say, last night when I played him, he looked a completely different player to the way I used to play against him. Moving on up, Kev needs to find a bit of consistency. He's struggled all season. I think he'll do a bit better if he just gets a little bit of consistency. Next season will be the one for him. I think he'll get a bit of confidence, and then he'll move on from there. Working our way up, I think when you look at that league from there, anything from Ace Maybe even Scammell still in it with a little bit. Anything from Ace upwards is in with a shout on the top two for me.
Yeah.
Especially after last night's results, the draws between myself and Dockers, Dockers and Terry, and me and Terry, not a goal between us. It's all 0-0. So that's thrown that even more open than what it was before. Add to that the fact that FM91's got to play myself, he's got to play Dockers, and he's got to play Mesk. For me, that's a defining moment for him. If he can get anything out of them 3 games, then that's going to get him promotion for me. But you can't look at that now and say that anybody is guaranteed to be in the top four come the end of the season. You can't look at that. Robbie's had a few bad results recently. He's gone a bit of a bad run. I don't think he picked up any points in his last four. So he needs to find a little bit of confidence. It could be a late charge for him if he does pick that up. Ace is always difficult to play. So like I just said, yeah, just like a Green League, mate, difficult to pick it.
Yeah, yeah. Robbie lost 3 in a row and he won 2-0 to Tails. So he picked up 3 vital, vital points to kind of stay in the promotion push. I'm pretty sure he's still on 29 points with Mesk. So they're kind of sitting right outside those areas. So
ready to pounce, mate, now.
So who... I know it's difficult to call, especially with you being at the top. Who do you think? Do you think you have a lot of pressure? It's because you've been out there from the beginning. You and Dockers, I think, were two of the main guys who were pushed in front of everybody to kind of take the title. We had Robbie, who went on an unbeaten run for a long, long time, and he was up there as well. But now it's you and Dockers. You're still up there. Do you think you deserve to be up there? Do you think you've had a really great season? And do you think you're going to just finish off the way you started?
Obviously, I think, yeah, we both deserve to be up there because we've got the points. So you get the points, you deserve to be where you are. But to be fair, I created a lot of pressure on myself at the beginning of the season by opening my mouth and with the press releases and saying how I deserve to be in the top division, blah, 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 stoking the fire. So, yeah, the pressure's on me, and I'm not playing very well at the moment. I've been up there all season. I think I've dropped out of the top spot just once when Robbie dislodged me. So if I don't make it in the top two, it will be seen as a failure on my part because I've been up there all season, and I feel I should be playing up there. Whether I do is another story. Like I say, I'm not playing very well, so I've got some really tough games coming up, especially FM91 is going to be difficult. Although you might think it, there's not really many easy games in this league. So getting the points are difficult. Dockers has been smashing goals in for fun recently, so I've got no worries that he'll be up there. Whether he gets the top two, again, so up in the air for both of us. FM91's on a good run. He's going to do well, but he's got 3 of the top 4 in his next 4 games. So... yeah, that's going to be tough for him. The one to watch out, in my eyes, is Mesk. He's shot out from nowhere. If you'd have said to me at the beginning of the season, name your top four, I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't have had him in it, especially because I played him a few times last season. He didn't really threaten, but he's got a good squad together. He's got a lot of pace in his squad, which seems to be the go-to, and he's dangerous. Watch out. Mesk will be up there, I reckon. I think Mesk could win the league.
Nice.
That's my opinion.
Okay, so if... I know you're involved in the title race, so if you feel comfortable picking the top four, go ahead. But I will go ahead and do my top four before you do. I think you're going to take it personally. No bias there. I think you're going to do it. You've been up there all season. I think it's going to be close, but I think at the end you're going to nick it. I think Dockers, who has also been up there with you all season, I think he has a really good, strong team, but he's had a couple results kind of flatten him out a bit in the last few games. I think he's going to stay where he is in second place. I think FM91 will be pushing Dockers and you all the way, but I think 5 points adrift, 6 points adrift, and with the tough schedule he has coming up, I think he's going to stay right there in third. And I think Ace is going to drop out of the top four, and I think Mesk is going to nick it from him. I think he's going to be in there, and pull it out. So I think Mesk will be the fourth spot.
Okay. Right, let me just take my manager of Chelsea head off and put my neutral head on. I'm going to be controversial, right? I'm going to say winning the league. After last night's results, I think Mesk will win the league now. I said that at the beginning. I think he's got a good run of form. He's got some good games coming up. I think he will jump, hurdle a lot of us, and he'll take top spot. Following him through the door and leading their merry way to Division 1, I think, will be Dockers. I think he's got a strong squad. I think he has had his blip this season, and I think he'll finish strong and take second place. Crying into his cornflakes the morning after the final game of the season will be me. I think I'll be finishing in third. I don't think I've got the form. I think I made a couple of mistakes in the transfer market, if I'm being brutally honest. And I think I'm going to finish third. And coming up my arse to keep me company in the next division is going to be FM 91.
Controversial indeed. All right. So that wraps up our Division 2 kind of forecast, what we think about what's going to happen there. Now let's move up to the big boys, to the big guns, to the top flight. And let's take a look at that table. It's tight. I mean, from the bottom to the top, obviously Viper has run away with the league. He's 8 points clear, 9 points clear, sitting at the top of the table. So he's pretty much on cruise control. But you look at the bottom there, and you have four teams going from Cunny all the way up to Wolves, who Quaz is no longer in the leagues. You have four people going up, and there's an earthquake happening right now, and I'm shaking all over the place.
You what?
It's an earthquake happening right now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's an earthquake in Japan. You heard it here first. This could be, wow. Still going?
Yep. It kind of stopped. No, it's not too bad. All right, we're good to go.
It's like he's just given birth online.
I was like, I started shaking, and I'm like, whoa. I was like, what's going on? So,
Where were we?
Okay. So, like I said, the four people at the bottom, there's only 5 points difference from 12th to 8th place, so anything can happen in this top flight division. Right now, Cunny is on 11 points, Danny's on 12, and from there, you have Fungus, Quaz, again, who's no longer, and Nick sitting on 16 points. So who do you have going down? Do you think Cunny's just going to stay at the bottom, or do you think he's going to possibly make a couple moves and move on up and be safe?
It's very interesting, as you know. Got Danny just sitting outside the relegation points there. Well, you said at the beginning of the season how I was so happy he's not doing very well, but I look at it there and I feel sorry for him. I do feel sorry for him. He's battling away at the bottom, but I think it would be a good thing that he slips down and starts enjoying a more competitive league, because at the minute that league is so, for me, it's so one-sided towards Viper and Scott and Master that the rest of them are just trying to play catch up. Cunny is on. He picked up some great results recently. He nicked a win against Palermo, who are in free fall. They had a few bad results that made them plummet. He's got two wins out of his last four, so he's coming into form at the right time that could drag him out of the dungeons of the bottom of the league. And throw Danny straight back into it, because if he wins his game in hand, then that means that there's a 2-point gap between Danny and Cunny. So Cunny goes out of the relegation zone and Danny moves into it. But if you look at the bottom four, and I even reckon there's six games to go, I still think you can include Nick in that, in the bottom four, and even so bottom five.
Yeah.
So bottom five, there's only 5 points difference. If Cunny wins his game in hand, there'll be only 2 points between the bottom five then. So that should be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely one to look out for. It's probably comparative to the Green League, where there's about three or four of us kind of in the mix. We don't really have a threat of relegation. So there's not really, we stay in the same league, and it's a bad deal, but, we're still in the league.
Learning curve, yeah.
But here, you're dropping down. You're getting relegated. Well,
you're either dropping one league or you're dropping two. Yeah. Look at it. If you finish where right at the bottom of the league, the final place, that sticks you in Division 3.
Yeah.
And then anything from Danny to Night Owl, that puts you in Division 2. So there's a lot of players there. There's a lot of players at the bottom of that league that are in shite form. I mean, Night Owl's lucky at the minute. He's not getting dragged too deep into it, but his form's been awful. I know he's got a lot on personally at the moment with work, and he's dropped out of leading us. Just while we're on that, hats off to the guy. He's been fantastic for the website. I can't say nothing bigger than him, really. He's driven his site forward, so fair play to him, and sorry to see him step down. But in terms of his form on the game, he's just plummeted out of the top five, top six there. So he could be struggling to fit into the top division next season. Yeah. Let me pause it there. Listen. Oh, yeah, go in the front room. Sorry, mate. 2 seconds.
Yep, no worries.
Go in the front room. Go on, you go outside 5 minutes. Don't go across. Oh, quick. Right, sorry, mate, just had to kick them out the door.
No.
Shush. Right, you can go on the grass, just be careful. Is it wet? Right. Okay, mate, right, where were we?
You were talking.
I saw about Al, weren't I?
Yeah. About that, he's in a bad form, and you were.
Yes.
All that.
Like I say, they're all. If you look at all six of them down the bottom there, they're all in not in great form. From Night Owl down, Nick's inconsistent. He plays a couple of good games, and then he loses a silly one, which is FIFA all over. So I can understand that. Bit disappointed, I'll have to add, in the situation at Wolves. Sacking their manager so late on in the season is a bit silly, but. They could be bringing in a bigger, better fish that could pull them up, and maybe even nick a Division 1 spot at the end of the season, depending on what sort of run they go on. So, yeah, that's interesting. Fungus has been in shite form all season, and he knows that himself. Same as Danny. Danny's picked up a couple of wins, but they've both really been in pretty poor form for their own standards. So they deserve to be down there, but they're two good players. Fungus has got a team full of talent that he should be doing better with, but that's a really tough league. Every game's a tough game. There's no take a break. I can get 3 points easy here. Every game there is difficult. So there's going to be a couple of good players that drop down into the lower divisions this season. So watch out for that.
Yeah, I think the only player who has decent form right now in the bottom five would be Cunning. You know, other than that, you have Danny who has lost. Three in a row. You have Quaz who was in there, lost three in a row. Nick has lost three of his last five.
He's not won any of his last five, is he? He's drawn two and lost three.
And Al hasn't. He's only picked up 1 point out of his last five. So it's not a good time of year to be in poor form, but especially at the bottom of the table. But these guys are. So. Before I ask you who, obviously we know who's going to win the league, whatever, this is a more interesting thing. Who do you think is going to go down in Division 1? If you had to pick your bottom, let's say your bottom three, who are your bottom three for Division 1?
I think you've got your bottom three there in Fungus, Danny and Cunny. In what order? They've all got to play each other. That's going to be fascinating because they've all got each other in a little round-robin tournament, as it were, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I think the new man coming in at Wolves will revitalise them. I think they'll be clear of it. I don't think Nick will get dragged into it in the end. I think he'll just sort of get himself away. He's got enough. Because they're playing each other, they're not all going to pick up wins. So he's got enough there to keep himself clear. So down the bottom there, one of three through the trapdoor. Looking at their squads on paper, you'd think it would stay where it is. You'd think Fungus has had enough in his team to keep him clear. Danny's got the strike force of Benzema and Wellington. I know he's trying to sell, but Podolski as well, he's got enough there to keep him clear. Cunny, I just think he's a little bit lightweight in terms of the others in his squad to put him out. I think he'll be the one that will fall through the trapdoor. I think Danny will hop over Fungus. and take 10th, and Fungus to take 11th.
All right, so I'm going to go with my bottom three now. I think Cunny, based on his form, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and move him up into 10th. I think him and Fungus are going to do some swapsies. I think Danny is going to stay where he is in 11th place and barely avoid relegation. But I think Fungus, love you, brother. But I think you are going to drop down into Division 1. All right, so we've done our bottom three. Obviously, we know who's going to win the division. But let's check out who do you think is going to finish out the top four? Do you think it's going to stay the same, Scott, Masta, Salman? Or do you think Hippo or Matty can nick in the top four?
Matty's the form horse of the league at the moment, playing really well. He's won his last three. So he's because he dropped out of the top six, so he was in threat of being in Division 2 next season. So he's done really well to get himself back in there at the expense of Al. I think he could push him. He's a little bit, might have left himself a bit much to do, but he's got two games in hand over Salmon, and he's only 4 points, or 5 points behind him. Hippo and Salmon are pretty similar in terms of results. They'll win one, draw one, and lose one, and that will just continue throughout the season. Once they find a bit of consistency, I tips Hippo to win a league this season, which he hasn't really fulfilled his potential that he showed last season. Salmon came off the back of winning Division 2 last year, and he's got a strong squad, but again, he's been a bit inconsistent with his results. So I think you're going to get Scott and Master in the top three. It's just out of the next four. I think Al's had a bit of a bad run too late. So the next three, Salmon, Hippo or Matty to be in the top four. I think if I'm going to have to put my neck on the line.
You're going to have to.
I'm going to say Matty because of the form he's in.
Okay. So you think Matty's going to nick the fourth spot?
I think Matty's going to nick the fourth spot, and I think Salmon and Hippo will drop down one. They'll still be in the top six, because I don't think Al is playing well enough to get himself back in. Especially if you look at the fact that he's 3 points behind Matty, and if Matty wins his game in hand, he's 6 points behind Matty. So I think you'll find that Night Owl's got seventh position sewn up, and then it's going to be a flip-flop between Salmon, Hippo and Matty to pick out 4th, 5th and 6th.
All right. I'm going to go with... I think Scott's a great, great player, and obviously he's been making some deals, wheels and deals. I do think that might hurt him in the long run. I think Masta's going to nick the second spot. I think Scott will drop down to third. And Matty has a lot to do, but he's in really great form right now. Won his last three, has a game in hand. And like you said, with his form, he could nick it, but I think it's going to be too much. I think Salman's going to stick with it and round out the top four.
Ooh.
Okay. I think so. All right, so that pretty much wraps up our league kind of anticipation review, what we're looking forward to, what's going on through the leagues. Hopefully you guys around the leagues are not just paying attention to your league itself, but also now you'll be a little bit more aware of the other leagues around you and what's going on. Definitely things to look forward to on both ends of the table coming up on the last 4 to 6 games of the year. Okay. Now let's move on. We talked about the squads. Now let's move on to our squad spotlight. So, Ellis, who do you have this week?
This week we're going to have a Butchers at top of at Green League, Dave. He's been throwing himself into the limelight recently with his performances and his results. So I thought, why not have a little look at him and see if we can pick the bones out and find out why he's playing so well. Look at his squad. It's pretty top-heavy in terms of attacking ability. He's got the strike force of Eminike and Rubinho, backed up with, well, probably one of the most consistent players in Cassano. Giving the ball outside the box, you let him shoot, he'll score, full shot. And then you've got the pace horn is Sanchez, that can also finish from pretty much anywhere. So, yeah, it's front four. I don't think you can fault it. I think it's the best in the league. Robinho on one wing, Sanchez on the other, Cassano and Emenike pushing forward to score you the goals. So, yeah, that's, for me, pretty solid. Working our way back into the midfield, and then we start looking at players that we don't really know. You've got to, well, pick the bones out of that.
Yeah, I mean, you have Pedridi, who he's trying to offload, who's, I mean, he's a half-decent player, but nothing really to write home about. Bela Litvinov, obviously, who spent his time at Everton. Is that the same player? Possibly, I think he spent his time at Everton. He's a decent player, decent left foot, but again, nothing that you would want to swap your midfield for. You know, you have Rolfs there, who's a bit, I mean, what do you, I mean, he's a solid squad player, but he's, again,
but he's been picking Rolfs recently. He's been playing in the game. So I think what he does there, he sits two in, he lets the front four look after themselves. So you've got your two wingers and your strikers, they're sorted. And then he'll sit two players in the midfield, one being Rolfs, and I think the other one will be whatever it's called, Anandids.
Yeah.
I think he's the other one who sits in there with Rolfs to sort of give him a little bit of stability and to pass the ball about to allow the attacking ability of the others. But then, like I say, working your way back, it's difficult to diss down at the back with Cicinho. He's just signed Cicinho, so he's done well to tighten that up there. There's nothing other than that in that back four. No, obviously, diss down, you're rock solid. He'll do well. Yeah, it's all about the attacking ability, really, I think. If he doesn't strengthen at the back in the pre-season, I think he could be struggling when it comes to next season. Because he's going to be fighting the big boys next year. And although a squad like that might let you get away with it in the Green League, I don't think it'll let you get away with it in Division 1.
No, I don't think so as well. I think he's going to be in deep water. Marking the likes of Neymar and you know, those kind of guys.
Ibrahimovic.
Cavani, Ibrahimovic, you know, El Sharawy. I mean, you're going to be tits deep in really good attackers. So it's
you're not going to get the ball forward to let your attackers play.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
So, but overall, I think obviously he's had a brilliant, brilliant season. I think Cassano could possibly be the player of the year in the Green League. He has just been on form and on fire since week one, basically.
Yeah, I like Cassano. We've said about him before being one type of player where he sits in behind the front two, but Dave's been putting him further forward and he's been performing.
Yeah.
He's scoring goals in little bundles. When he scores goals, he scores a few. So, yeah, I like him. He's a good player. And he's only getting better. He's had a great season in Serie A, so he's doing really well for the Italian national team. So, yeah, I think he'll have a good little player there. I wouldn't get rid of him if I was you.
No, I think he is one of the best all-around players in the game. He just does it all. You know, he'll create for you. He'll put the goals away, obviously, as we've seen this season. Great all-around player. Danny, you're a freaking moron.
He just scores from stupid angles. You can shoot from like 30 yards out and it just flies in the top corner every time. And I like that.
Definitely quality. All right, so that is our squad spotlight. Congratulations to Dave. Hope you have a nice little run in towards the end of the season and can maintain your place at the top of the Green League table. All right, so. Now, do you have anything else to add, Ellis, before we...
Before we have a fight, I just want to highlight our performance of the week.
Ooh.
Well, let's do it after 2 weeks, because obviously we've been away for a while. We're giving you a little bit of a rest from our draining voices. But we're back this week, ladies and gentlemen. And performance of the week. Now, this has been difficult. There's a few good players on good runs. We've mentioned it before. Cunny picked up two wins out of his four, so he was in for it. Another candidate was Matty was up there because of his run of form that's catapulted him into contention for Division One spot next season. So he was a candidate. I looked him over. I'm an Aaron, but for me, performance of the week goes to Almir. His 4 wins from 4, and if you look at the games that he's won, he's beat Nant 4-1, he's beat Park 3-2, he beat Genco 3-1, which is a fantastic result, and Rab 3-1. So although Matty and Cunny have been doing it well in Division 1, for me, Almir, with his team, we've looked at his team before and we couldn't figure out how he was winning games, but to win 4-4 against those, Almir, congratulations, performance of the week.
Nice, big round of applause, good job, Almir. You definitely have been in some great form, and I look forward to seeing how you play out the rest of the season. All right, so the moment you've all been waiting for, it is our EJ giveaway. And this giveaway, as we promised a few weeks back, they're going to be keepers. They're going to be keepers this week. And I know a couple of keepers in the last Free Agent Fridays have come out, Ter Stegen and recently Julio Cesar. So the keepers are looking quality around the leagues. You're starting to see you're getting rid of the 75, 77s. You're starting to see some green in the old table there. So hopefully we can add to that and kind of see how it goes.
1-1. We're at 1-1, aren't we?
We are at 1-1.
Time for me to take the lead. I gave you the last one out of default because I chose Wilfred. But
I have on my team.
Yeah, you've nicked him.
I did.
I'm coming for you this time, mate.
All right.
Watch out. I'm going first as well because you went first last time.
All right, go for it.
Did you go first last time or did I go? Yeah, I went first. It's your turn to go first.
It is. Okay, because, yeah, I went first with Dirk Kuyt. Then you went first last week with Zaha.
Don't choose my one. Just don't choose the player that I've got.
Okay, let's hope I don't.
Go on, then. What rating's yours?
My keeper is a 79.
Oh, no. It's going to be the same one. I know it is.
79.
Go on.
I have two, but this was my first choice. The other one is a 78. So I could, I could change my mind. I'm not sure yet. But my keeper plays in Italy. Is this the same one?
Well, like I said, I had two. I think the other one you've got, I've got, it's not the same one. I'm quite pleased about this. Go on then.
All right. So
I know it is already.
My keeper is Stecklenburg from Roma.
Yay.
He's had an up and down season. I was kind of between two keepers. The more popular of the two, I'm sure my colleague has. I was kind of debating which one to go with. But I chose Stecklenburg. Let's just go over some of his stats so you guys can kind of listen to him. Let's see. His diving is 84, which is spectacular. His handling is a bit low. That's down to 74. His kicking is in the green, which is 80. And his positioning is 80 as well. His reflexes are not as good as they probably should be. They're at a 78. And his potential, sadly, is right where it is now, at a 79. But that's just for your career mode, so I wouldn't really put all my chickens into that egg right there, that little thing or whatever. If he gets enough game time in, I think he'll improve. I'm afraid that my partner here is going to pick the other guy I should have picked, since I had the first choice, and I'm probably going to lose this one. But go ahead, Ellis. Who is your choice?
Move over. I'm coming through. Move out of the way.
I know who it is already.
It's going to be the same one, because mine's a 79 rated keeper as well.
I know who it is already.
Do you really? Is it the same one you had?
Yep. Yep, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, because I had two. One of them was Stecklenburg, but my number one choice was this one. Had a few injuries this season. Guess who it is yet?
I should have picked him to begin with. He was on my, these two were on it, so
yeah. We had the same two, and you've gone for the other one, and I've got my number one choice. Yeah. Diving 81, reflexes 84. He, believe it or not, he's only 24, and he's been booting the granddad is Stelkenberg out of the Holland team in the near future. Tim Krul, everybody.
Yep. He was on my list. He was on it. He was on it. Should have picked him.
You should have, mate. Number one.
I almost picked him for my team. When I sold my team, I had two chances at a 79 rated overall. And I was like, am I going to spend my 79 on a keeper? It might be worth it. And I was going to get cruel. I was going to put him on there. But
the only reason he's 79 is because he's been injured.
Exactly.
Come for 14, he's going to be in the 80s. So I don't think there's much competition here, mate. I think you dropped a bollock there, didn't you?
I have. I should have gone with my first choice. Should have gone with my gut. Should have gone with my gut and went with Krul. But
so you have one, because I didn't really want to go with Stepanberg. He was number two.
Yeah.
Number one. It's got to be Tim Krul, surely. 79 potential. He's only 24.
He is.
There's no one in there booting him out of the Newcastle team. If they get relegated this season, someone will snap him up. Had a fantastic season last year. I don't need to say anymore.
All right, I think I'll cede victory to you.
Thank you.
I gave it to you on a freaking silver platter.
You did, mate. I didn't even have to work for that. That's like bloody candy from a baby, that one, mate.
I should have just gone for it. I should have just picked them.
There we go, followers. Team Ellis, 2-1 up, people. Keep following me. Yes.
Should have just gone with it. Should have gone with my gut and just went with Krul. But you know,
2-1.
You know, I should have just done it. But congratulations to Ellis for going up 2-1.
Thank you very much.
Krul will be in the EJ giveaway later on this week.
Don't let us down. Don't let us down with silly little Ponzi 5 million bid, people. Come on.
We have control of this giveaway, so maybe we should just
Let's stick a reserve price on him.
We could. We should. We can.
79. Potential. He's only 24. 15 million at least, surely.
Yeah, I think that's about right. So
telephone bid of 15 million gone in.
Yep. So we'll start the bidding off at 15 million for Tim Krul. Obviously, your bids have to go up by 100,000 or 1 million, whatever it is. So yeah, I think it's 1 million, possibly. No, public auction, not sure. 100,000. But yeah, have a bid.
100,000's a bid, mate. Yeah. Yep. Public auction, 100,000 of bids.
Yep. Have a good go at that one, and he'll be up later on in the week. When, we don't know. But yeah, it might be on Friday. It might be later on tonight. It might be tomorrow. Just stay tuned and you'll find out. Okay, so that wraps up our 10th podcast, the big 10. I would like to, as always, thank my humble partner who always gives me a good go on these shows.
You are most welcome, mate. Happy anniversary. And while we're at it, let me just say to all you FLMers out there, League Wars Sunday. Be warned, don't miss it. There's a health warning out about it. Clear your diaries, get yourself in there. Even if you don't like doing them, just get yourself down there because it's going to be rewarded. That's all I will say. Get there.
Be there or be square. All right, so that's
it. Get your ass out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning as well and play.
You know, I actually have the next following week, I had the Monday off, so I could have done it. It always falls that way. I always have the week off, and then it's always the week that League Wars is on the break.
Items.
Yep. You know. Whatever. All right. So that's all.
Give me 100 million prize pen, mate. I'm gonna have 100 million each.
You can spin it on my team. You can buy my team for that price. All right. So from Ellis and myself, have a great week and good luck on your fixtures. We will see you guys next time. Hopefully with a guest, and that's all from us. Take it easy, guys. See you later.
Yeah, cool. Bye bye.